before I start the podcast, I need to send out a thank you message to all my wonderful patrons. These are people that have signed up to donate each month money to help support the podcast. I appreciate them so much. They are Sean Poole, David and Jennifer Evans, Jeff Ulmer, Sylvian Groth, Liz Brunson, Yetta, Steve Van Sack, Robert Brown, Rob Barnett, Bella Corey, John Munson, Betsy Hodges, Levi Peter, Elizabeth Brunson, Stephen Malio, Steve Rogers, Dale Hosack, Terry Smith, Chris Bloom, and Mary Thomas. Thank you guys for being part of this community. If you want to join Patreon, it's really easy. Go to patreon.com, search for Seth Lessing Bruce, and from there you can log on and sign up for as little as $1 a month. Doing that, you get a handwritten thank you note from me. At certain tiers, you get unedited episodes. You get preview episodes. And you also can join my advisory council. These are the group of supporters who get first notice of when I'm trying something new, and they are able to give us feedback on what they think of these new projects. So thank you guys for being part of this. Now then, let's get on with the conversation. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Set Lusting Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. I'm very excited. I have my good friend Mark joining me, and Mark is a massive Springsteen fan. Emailed me, said, "Hey, Jesse, I'd love to be on the show." So, Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about it, but we always like to start at the beginning. So tell me about growing up. What kind of music did your family listen to? And what did you grow up listening to?
Oh, man. We grew up on so much. My dad was big into 50s music because that was his era. So, you know, Sam Cooke, Clyde Carl Perkins, Farron Young. He also big into bluegrass, like Seldom Seen, and Marty Robbins. Those were the big staples in the house.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Being a big 50s fan, I bet you also you heard a lot of Elvis Presley, Buddy Holly.
I'm not familiar with those artists.
Okay, so he was going a little in away. All right, very cool. So how about you? As you mentioned, loving Bruce, can you remember when you first discovered Bruce and what about him spoke to you?
It was on a trip to the Jersey Shore, because I grew up in New Jersey, and I believe it was a cassette that my parents had, and they put it on while we were driving, and they just played over and over again. And there's certain songs that just stuck out to me. So this was early to mid 80s, and there's a couple songs that just really stuck out and I absolutely loved and have become my favorites. And they're just so nostalgic for me. Two Hearts and True Waltz Time, The Time That Never Was. Those are just two of the most amazing songs.
Wow, those are a little lesser known. Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, if this is 84, maybe? 85?
Yeah, exactly.
He was on the radio a lot. Were you hearing him much on the radio?
Maybe my parents listened to a lot of cassettes.
Okay.
Whatever they would put on a cassette and stick in the car, that's basically what we listened to.
Okay. As I'm going to get back to Bruce in a minute, but you talked about some of this earlier music. You mentioned you guys never listened to, how about like pop rock, like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
No, but Manfred Mann's Earth Band. Oh my gosh. Holy crow, that was huge in our house, which is one of the things that got me into Bruce, because I heard this an amazing song, Blinded by the Light. It was incredible. The lyrics in that are just, I mean, otherworldly. And so I went to my dad and I said, I love this song. He said, oh, you should hear the original. It was okay, but it's not a Manfred man, but it was pretty good. And that's what got me into some of the brews. That and the, like I said, the traveling to the shore, brews yeah. and the shore. I mean, they're inextricable.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about that, right? Like having the music on and hearing Racing in the Street or Rosalita. It just fills the air with that joy.
I don't know those songs really. They're not ringing a bell, but if it's Bruce, yeah, you're right. Because I was thinking, like, when I got this, we would listen to, like, I like a lot of his earlier stuff, like Cowboys of the Sea, Evacuation of the West. Those songs are just, his band's pretty good, but when it's just him, very sparse, you don't get any better than that.
So that must mean you're a really big fan of Nebraska.
Probably. I'd have to look the songs up on that again.
Yeah. Nebraska is the, he recorded that. It's famously, he did it in his house with a recorded thing. There is Used Cars is on there. Nebraska, Atlantic City is the big hit that a lot of people know, that the, that Atlantic City, that in fact, the,
like
the,
after the birds, town.
Yeah. It's about that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they're the songs. Huh. I know you're just not thinking about they. It starts out, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night, right?
Chicken Does that, Man.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Traveling Wilburys. No, that was Tweeter and the Monkey Man.
Okay, yeah.
It's about as close as... We are talking about the same guy, right?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I think you just really love some different things. With your dad loving him, did he not play the album Darkness on the Edge of Town to you very often?
I honestly never really saw the cover. It was all like blank tapes.
Okay.
And they're all faded. So right. It was hard to read the song titles.
Right.
So maybe I know the songs, but I don't know the name. And I still have the cassettes. So they've only gotten more and more faded as time goes on. And I still listen to them all the time.
That's good. Like there's a lot of people that adore like his like one of his unreleased songs, maybe Seaside Bar Song.
Ooh, yes, that I know. That, well, you said unreleased though. What do you mean? I've heard that for years.
Yeah, it's one of those that never made an album. I guess you're gonna find that hard
really?
To believe. Yeah,
this is really weird.
Yeah, so I want to make sure we're talking the same thing. It starts out when Billy bought a Chevy 40 Coupe Deluxe. Chrome wheels, stick shift, gave her gas, popped the clutch. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that one.
Song. Okay, yeah. So...
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once, new quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Was your dad really into a lot of bootlegs? Did he talk about this?
He didn't, but he didn't really talk about things in the past all that much. Okay. He grew up in Jersey. in around Jersey City. And he said he did a lot of traveling with some musicians and stuff, but he really never went into it. We'd ask and he'd take a drink of his whiskey and yell something and then shut the door. And then we just sit there.
I get it. Okay. So I am a little weird. I'm just a little surprised because in 1984, Bruce put out this album called Born in the USA. You're aware of that one, right?
That really sounds familiar.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It was on the radio a lot and it had the big, Dancing in the Dark.
Oh, and Johnny Bye Bye, right?
Yeah, that's sort of. But okay. Were you an MTV household?
No.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We got kicked out of the house a lot.
Okay. I got you.
It was the 80s. You just, hey, go outside and play. Come back when the lights come on.
Got it. Because one of the things I was thinking of is that a lot of people, especially your age, has that iconic, it was his video where he's singing and Courtney Cox from Friends joins him on stage. You know her.
That was Bruce.
Yeah, that was Bruce that she jumps on stage with. That's him.
The guy with the jeans and he pulls her up.
Yes, yes. That's Bruce.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Wow.
Okay.
Very nice. All right. Let's stop for a minute, records. I want to get to live shows. So,
yes.
Have you been able to see Bruce live?
Once.
Okay.
Once. And it was Human Touch Tour 92.
Yeah.
I remember the day. It was July 30th, Brendan Byrne Arena. I know the set list because I looked it up.
Okay.
but from what I've heard, it's considered one of his greatest shows ever.
Because that's a little surprising to hear, because the Human Touch is often called the other band. Have you heard that phrase before?
I heard it as the better band.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know too much about the band before that, but when I saw them in 92, I was blown away. It was just amazing.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's the only time I've been able to see him.
Okay. Yeah, because it's often confusing. I've had a lot of people on the podcast that talks about their first experience is seeing the other band. Because they, at the time, his main band, the E Street Band, had broken up. So you are aware of the E Street Band, correct?
I knew there was a letter. On the tapes, it just said Bruce Springsteen.
Okay. And Mark, I agree with you. Nowadays, I think people don't understand. Nowadays, it's very easy. You go to Mr. or Mrs. Google, you type in the song title, you get lyrics, right?
Yeah.
But exactly. Back then, it was like you had to go, if you bought the album, you had to look at the album cover. And cassettes, they're so small, even if it was a factory cassette, there's not a lot of room to see lyrics. So,
right.
Yeah. Are you someone who would perhaps play the songs and then pull out paper and try to write the lyrics yourself?
I did. It was difficult, though, because the tapes were pretty well worn at that point, and I had to be real careful. So they got a little thin, and sometimes I could hear the song on the other side bleeding through. Sometimes my lyrics weren't quite accurate.
Okay. Do you have an example?
Let me think. I'm trying to remember the lyrics for Two for the Road, but I remember that was one that I was trying to write down, and I think there was an older song on the other side that bled through. Maybe Song of the Orphans, I think, maybe got bled through.
Okay.
So
yeah.
So it was a weird backwards vocal effect. I thought it was a really cool effect that he was doing.
Yeah.
Until my dad explained that the tape was just pretty thin at that point.
So what's interesting, Mark, is you must have been thrilled then in 2020 when he released the album Letter to You that had four of his old songs on there. It had Song for the Orphaned, If I Was the Priest. That must have got you pumped, right? That release came out?
I didn't know that came out.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah.
See, this is why I'm so glad I'm coming on the podcast. I'm getting all this new information.
Yeah, so yeah, I'll send you a link, Mark, because it's surprising, though, because like it was a big press release. He did. There's a documentary on making of the song that's on Apple TV. He did a couple of podcasts talking about it. This was
really?
Right. Yeah. Like right afterwards, sat down and there was a whole series of podcasts with him and Barack Obama.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Was that a producer, or was that like from the early band guys or something?
No, Barack Obama was president of the United States
in the 80s. Wait, when was this? Like in when he was like when Bruce was huge, like in the 80s and all?
Yeah, no, just a little bit later than that. He was the president before Donald Trump got elected.
Man, you are giving me so much information, man. This is definitely. I'm really glad I'm on here today.
Mark, I can see you taking notes. This is great.
Yeah,
I just appreciate it. I always
it's a learning experience.
Yeah, it always is. Yeah, education is so important. Yeah, so he had done this album. I'll talk about his last album was him doing a selection of cover songs, like soul ballads. Any thoughts on that? So, Mark, after he did Letter to You, he put out an album of covers, Only the Strong. I guess you don't know about that one either.
No. Oh my God. That was brilliant. I got that the day it came out. I thought that was a brilliant idea. Springsteen doing covers. Who would have thought? No wonder the guy is revered. He's a genius.
Yeah. I know currently he's doing Night Shift on the live show. And is there any other songs that stand out from that release?
Seven Rooms of Gloom. Anything with the word gloom. But I also, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted? Hey, Western Union Man.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, sure. Everyone hummed that one. Sure.
Hell yeah. All right. So what about you? Do you have a favorite off that album? Because this is probably, to me, it really harkens back to Bruce when he was just starting out. When artists are just starting out, they don't have a huge breadth of material, so they're playing covers.
Yeah.
So is there anything on there that stands out for you?
So obviously, I like the songs I knew, but I think the one that I Wish It Would Rain is the one that I feel like is the most like a Bruce song. I really love that one. And I think he does a great job on Someday We'll Be Together, the Supreme song.
Ah, now, I will 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah, that's nice. You get to see, are you trying to go see him this tour?
I would love to.
Okay.
I gotta save up the money, though.
I understand. So.
Especially with all that dynamic pricing garbage going on.
Oh, let's don't even. We could do a whole episode on that, Mark. There is so much angst about that. Mark, hopefully you and I both will be able to find tickets and we won't get dynamic priced out of the arena. But
exactly.
Is there songs you're chasing? Is there one or two songs that are on your wish list that you've got on that little piece of paper and you're like ready to cross that out if you see them live?
Absolutely. I was hoping you would do this in 92 when I saw him, but he didn't, unfortunately. And I'm so hoping he pulls out the Ballad of Elmer the Pea.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I cannot wait to hear that. I've heard that sometimes it might come out in a sound check or between songs. There may be a couple of notes that it played and you're like, whoa, Ballad of Elmer the Pea. But I personally haven't heard it and I haven't found it on any bootlegs. None of my dad's old cassettes has it. That song it's my holy grail.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's one that's not on my bucket list. No,
well, you know,
yeah. Is there?
Come to think of it, yeah. To think of it, there is one. I'm a huge Patti Smith fan. I think I really and you may disagree. I would love to hear him do her huge hit, Because the Night. That just sounds like a natural for him. I would love to hear him it fits. It just sounds like it could be one of his songs. I would love to hear him do it.
Okay. Yeah. You realize, Mark, that he helped her write the song, huh?
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that was in the liner notes, the little cassette.
See. Okay. That's good. Yeah. I've good news. He plays that song almost every night he tours. So if you get tickets, you're going to get your wish.
Oh, man. If he can do Elmer the P.
Mark, this has been so much fun. Before I let you go, is there anything I should have asked you that I hadn't?
I can't, honestly, I'm not sure. I know, no, I can't, nothing pops to mind.
Is there any stories or anything that I should have asked you that I haven't?
Man, I can't really think of any. All right, we don't have a whole lot of time. So next time I come on, I can tell you about this guy I went golfing with once. He said he knew Bruce, but I don't know. His name is Vinny Lopez. I think he went
Mad
by
Dog,
like
Mad Dog Lopez.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
Really? You got to play golf with him?
Yeah, yeah. He was pretty good. I mean, I'm not the greatest, but you know, well, I beat him.
So, Mark, I don't know if you realize this, but Vinny played on Bruce's first two albums. He was his first drummer.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Man, were you 10 years ago?
There you go. All right. Mark, you have been a joy. I just love listening, and your perspective has been it's a gift. But before I let you go, I end every podcast with the Mary question. And what that was is Jay Armstrong, who is an honors English teacher, would print out the lyrics to Bruce's song, and he would give the lyrics to the students. They would read it. They would study it. They'd talk about his poem. And then he would ask his class at the end of the day, does Mary get in the car? So you're listening to Thunder Road, and the question is, at the end of Thunder Road, does Mary get in the car?
I'm not familiar with Thunder Road. What about, I hate to say I can't really answer that for exactly. You're sure that's a Springsteen song, right?
Yeah, the debate is between Born to Run and Thunder Road are which of his two greatest songs.
Oh, see, my question has always been, in Zero and Blind Terry, how did Terry go blind? I thought it was like, my theory is like bathtub gin. Like it was really bad, like alcohol poisoning or something. It was that time frame, and maybe it was alcohol poisoning.
Okay.
That's just what I'm thinking.
I'm going to take that on. Maybe that's how I'm going to start ending my podcast from now on. Would you mind if I use that question?
Not at all, man, but my gift to you.
That you are a giving man. If someone wants to reach you, how can they?
I'm sure, hopefully it'll be at some Springsteen show.
Okay.
But if someone wants to chip in on the dynamic pricing, we can split a ticket or something.
Okay.
I do have my own podcast that I do. People can reach me through that email address.
Okay.
That's the performanceanxietypod@gmail.com.
All right. Very nice. Mark, this has been a blast. Thank you so much for spending time with me. Listeners, just remember that have a fun April Fool's Day. Mark, thank you so much for joining me. This is the third or fourth year I've tried to do an April Fool's joke episode, and you stepped in at the last minute. So please tell everyone a little bit about yourself, and do talk about your wonderful podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you. This was a blast. I really do appreciate it. My answer may not be too far from the truth, unfortunately. I did grow up in New Jersey. I did run away from Springsteen because it was the 80s and I was into heavy metal, and my parents and my little brother were into Springsteen. And so I just tried to avoid him as much as possible. But I have grown in appreciation for him over the years. And I actually do really love his music. I'm not as educated in it as many people from New Jersey are at this point. And I did actually do see him on July 30, 1992. So that was real. So
What's funny is that is the other band, right? That a lot of people. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
Not Mark's the better band.
Yeah, that was great. Mark is going to join me for a full episode. We're going to talk a little bit. We will talk about it. There's a lot of great stories that we shared before we hit recording, including how could you had to rebel? Your parents are into Springsteen. Your little brother's into Springsteen. You're into heavy metal, right? Yep. You had to reject that. It was required in the DNA.
I had no choice. But I just do have a huge, very deep love of music. And that's what got me started doing this, my podcast. I've been doing it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I'm about to hit episode 400. So I'm nowhere near yours. So I bow to the master, but
400 is a lot.
Yeah. And they're all interviews. So yeah. So every single one is a conversation. And I don't want to say interview because it's not a bullet point thing. It's a conversation. Yeah.
Right. And that's what I try to do on this one as well, Mark. So why performance anxiety?
That was a lot of people asked me that. And it was going to be a through line and a way to get people on the show and interested in the show. Try to ask how, if they suffered from performance anxiety at all, or if they did, how they overcame it. And within the first 5 episodes, I think I forgot to ask every single person that. So I had already had the artwork done. I already had the name, the RSS feed. So I'm just like, it's staying. But we do actually talk about it with some guests who are gracious and kind enough to share their stories.
I've checked out one or two episodes. I've enjoyed every one I've heard. I'm so glad that you're part of the Pantheon podcast network. And go check out Performance Anxiety. We are going to have Mark on for a full episode. We'll go through things. Just as a hint, who are some of your favorite artists?
Oh my God. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Mark Lanegan, early The Verve. So I go all over the place right now. I'm trying to think from, one of my favorites just released a new album, David Eugene Edwards. So anything involving him, so 16 horsepower, Woven Hand. So I go all over the place from metal to alternative country to I grew up on grunge. That was my born in 73, so hit right at the perfect time. And I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of these people from my favorite bands on the podcast. Had guys like Alan Johannes. My goal is to get somebody from Led Zeppelin on, because I've circled every member at some point. I've had Jimmy Page's girlfriend on and his daughter. I've had John Bonham's sister on. I've had Robert Plant's son-in-law and John Paul Jones's bassist.
But all the peripheral, but none of the entree. That is great. Yep. If someone has a contact, reach out to me. Yes. All right, Mark, thank you so much for spending time. As I said, we had another guest scheduled to join me to do our April Fool's episode. A family emergency came up. They felt horrible. I told them, don't feel bad about it. And Mark had reached out earlier in the process and said, hey, I'm not the biggest Springsteen fan, but I would love to join you. And so at the last minute, I emailed him and said, hey, Mark, I don't want you to think you're second fiddle, but I would really love for you to join me. And he did it with great grace and great honesty. And I just love it. Thank you, Mark. We're going to have you on. I'm going to hold off asking you the Mary question.
Okay.
So I do think that's a great idea. How did Terry get blind? Maybe my follow-up question from now on. Maybe. So yes. Yeah. So Siri,
well, I'm so thrilled to be the backup. Thrilled.
No problem with that. So once again, tell everyone how to reach you, social medias, name of the podcast.
Sure. It's the Performance Anxiety Podcast on Pantheon Podcast Network. You can email me at theperformanceanxietypod@gmail.com. I'm on X and Instagram as @performanceanx. And that'll have examples on Instagram, at least, of every episode that I've got artwork from every artist, every show I've got on. And we release a show a week. I think in the almost 400 episodes, I've missed one week.
Wow.
Yeah. So
very nice.
It's a labor of love, and I have a very understanding and loving wife.
Yes, I have the same thing. My wife, do you have another podcast tonight? Yes, I do. Thank you. Yes.
Yep.
All right. Mark, thank you. I appreciate it. Listeners, I hope you are having a great April Fool's Day. Welcome to, I guess we're officially in spring. Go check out Mark's podcast. Go give him some love wherever you get the podcast, on iTunes or whatever podcatcher, and give him a 5-star rating, because it really does make a difference to us. Mark, thank you again. Listeners, be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye. Thank you for checking out this episode. If you enjoyed our discussion, I hope you will check out other episodes of the podcast. I've spent over 7 years talking to hundreds of music fans around the world about the power and magic of music. Please follow me on all my socials. I'm still on Twitter, aka X, as Jesse Jackson DFW. The show is at Set Lusting Bruce. The show and I are both on Facebook as well. I'm a part of a few other podcasts. On Perfectly Good Podcast, me and my co-host Sylvan are talking about every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. I am part of a few other podcasts. On Perfectly Good Podcast, me and my co-host Sylvan are talking about every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. Both Perfectly Good Podcast and Setlist and Bruce are part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, where there are dozens of great podcasts about music. Charles and I talk all things Doctor Who on Next Stop Everywhere. I'm joined each week by Lou and Karen on Last Best Hope for Conversation, as we discuss Babylon 5 and other pop culture topics. This show can be reached at setlustingbruce@gmail.com. And I would mean the world to me if you could send me feedback on any of the podcasts. Or please reach out to schedule time for you to join me on a future episode. Getting to talk to people about their love of music and their favorite musicians and other creative endeavors is a passion of mine. And I hope that the conversations bring you a little joy, a little love, and a whole lot of light.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.